If you got a Bible tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Back home, I've been in a series in Ephesians since 2014. I'm still not through with it, but I did get to this part of it, and we're almost through with the book. So I want to share a message with you out of Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. And this is a call to all Christians to battle. A call to battle. Paul says in verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, we thank you that you have given us weapons to fight the enemy of our soul. And Father, we pray that you would give us the grace to have the will to use these weapons that you've given us. Father, we know that the victory has been won in Christ, but we know while we're on this sinful earth, we must fight against the enemy of our souls until he is cast into the pit, the lake of fire, at the end of the world. And Father, we pray that you would use your word tonight to make every one of us good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask it in his name. Amen. The Apostle Paul says that you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and put on the whole armor of God. And the reason why you need to put on the whole armor of God is so that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Or he's basically saying that you need to put on the whole armor of God that you may have the ability and the power to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, these words were written by one who was a great leader. And the Apostle Paul himself had long experienced warfare personally. You know about the Apostle Paul. He had the care of all the churches that was upon him. And this man who had the care of all the churches upon him definitely knew and experienced the evil plotting of the devil many times. He knew about the scheming of the evil one against the people of God. He, by the inspiration of the Spirit, is more than qualified to give us these words of instruction tonight on how to fight against the enemy of our souls. And these words in Ephesians 6:10 to 18, basically all the way down to 18, are the whole key to victory in life, in everyday struggles, all the allurements in life, the temptations in the Christian life. You know, it's a terrible mistake to think that once you have been converted and brought into the kingdom of God, and that everything is going to be nice and rosy, and that all trouble ceases. When you get saved is when a lot of trouble starts. And that's because you have an enemy of your soul. And in reality, what the Word of God teaches us, that once a person is converted and born again by the Spirit of God, this is the beginning of a lifelong warfare. Now, to get this straight tonight so you won't misunderstand me, this is not a war for our salvation. Jesus has fought and won that war. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He earned our salvation for us on Calvary's tree. But my point is this tonight. We are not fighting to be saved. We are fighting because we are saved. Because the enemy of the soul is after the people of God. We're fighting because we are God's children. We are fighting because we are God's new creation. And just like the devil came in and spoiled the original creation, he wants to come in and spoil the new creation. And oh, how he loves to wreak havoc in churches and all of the work of God. So we're fighting because we're saved. We're fighting because we have an enemy of our soul. And we have an enemy that hates us. He hates our Savior. And he will hate us until this life is over. You say, what will he try to do in my life? And I'll tell you, and if you're an unbeliever tonight, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the mission of the devil. The devil really doesn't like anybody. You know, we're engaged in a war, and we're engaged in a war as Christians in Christian service. We're in the army of God, and not only are you a child of God, but the Bible also describes you as a soldier of Jesus Christ. So the Christian life is glorious. The Christian life is full of joy and peace and happiness, but it's bittersweet. There's a lot of challenges in the Christian life because it's lived out in the spiritual battlefield of this world. You know, we are pilgrims passing through this world. We're fighting this fight on enemy territory. You know, we're not fighting on the ground that we need to be, you know, like we own this ground. You know, the devil right now is the prince of the power of the air. He's the one who is ruling this world by God's permission. But we're fighting it on a spiritual battlefield that is controlled by the devil in a sin-cursed world. 1 John 5:19, John says that the world lies under the sway or under the control of the wicked one. So whatever we may face in life in the thick of battle and in the thick of hostility, this is the guiding and controlling principle that must be in order in our lives to enable us to stand and be victorious in the Christian life. Paul says this is what you need to do. You need to learn how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because if you try to fight the enemy in your own power, you're going to immediately lose the battle. The only one that can defeat the devil is God. No human is wise enough, no human is strong enough to stand up against this enemy. But we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want you to listen to Psalm 60, verse 12. The psalmist says, he says, through God we will do valiantly. You heard what he said? He says, through God we will do valiantly. He said, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. So I'm saying that this war that we're involved in, you have to fight this war in the armor of God. You have to have spiritual weapons in order to be victorious against the schemes and the plans and the plotting of the evil one. Now I want to talk to the unconverted and the unsaved of this world for a minute. You're on the same battlefield as God's people are, with the same enemy. The thing about it is most unconverted people, they think the devil is their friend. I hear people all the time say, yeah, when I die, I'm going to hell and we're going to party in hell. There is no party in hell. And the devil wants you in hell. And the devil wants to destroy your soul. And he wants to blind you from the preaching of the gospel. What the devil wants to do is he wants to clog your ears so you can't hear the thing that will release you and give you life everlasting. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:3, he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. Then he says, now this is what he says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So if you're outside of Christ tonight, Satan has blinded and deceived you. He is not your friend. He's the enemy of your soul. The only true friend that sinners have is Jesus Christ. He is the friend of sinners. The devil is not your friend. And to say that you're going to go into the pit and you're going to party in hell, oh, how deceived you are. Because that will not happen in hell. So I pray that God would open your eyes to the fact that you're on a battlefield, that your life is in danger in the sense I'm talking about your eternal life, and that you're totally unprepared and that you're defenseless and you are unaware of the fact that you are on a battlefield with somebody who wants to destroy your soul. So the word of God says that the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so if you're an unbeliever tonight, I just want to get that point over to you tonight. The devil is not your friend. I don't care what the world says and how they worship the devil and everything else. They will see in the end, you know, that he is everything that the Bible said. He's hideous. You know, he hates people. He definitely hates God's people. And he wants to take as many people into the pit with him as he can. So to believers tonight, I got three things for you why this passage is so vital to know and to practice. Number one, because there is an enemy of the church who directs the influence of all the other enemies of the church. In other words, he has agents, He has cohorts, he has workers, and they are busy on this earth, and they are especially busy within churches. The Apostle Paul talks about the wiles of the devil. He talks about the plotting and the scheming of the devil. He is the enemy of the church, and he is a very powerful enemy. And the reason why I give you this first point is because the only way to defeat him is in the strength and the power and the might of God. Now, when I'm preaching this back home, you know, we're already getting into the spiritual armor and understanding what it really is. But this is totally spiritual warfare. And you can only defeat him in the armor and the spiritual armor and the might of God Almighty. I say this tonight. If you are not a spiritual person, you're going to have a rough walk as a Christian. I didn't say you wasn't saved, but you're going to have a rough time. Because the devil will harass you because you don't use the weapons that God gave you to fight against him. You know, all this is glory to God. These are his weapons. God says, you want to keep him off of you? Then you use these weapons that I give you in Ephesians 6, and you can defeat the devil and you can keep him at bay in your life. Another thing about the church on the earth right now at this very time is militant. The church is not having a good time on this earth. The church is at war. The church is at war, members individually, and the church is at war corporately. You know, you're not just fighting the fight against the devil by yourself, but you're fighting the fight against the devil with your brothers and sisters. That's why you need to have prayer meetings. That's why you need to come and hear the word of God. That's why you need to fellowship together and stuff, because we are in this thing together fighting the good fight against him. You say, what are we fighting for? We're fighting for the glory and honor of God, the glory and honor of Christ. We're fighting for the faith. We're fighting for the truth. We're fighting for the souls of men and women. We're fighting against sin and evil and wickedness. We are fighting against everything that offends God. That's what we're fighting against. We're fighting against everything that will destroy my soul. That's what we're fighting against. And it never stops. It's just like it's ceaseless in this life. You know, God gives us a break every now and then. But I tell you, as soon as you get a break and you think things are going real good, all of a sudden it seems like the walls cave in again. And you got to really fight, and you got to hold up the banner of the cross, and you got to go to war again, and you got to keep fighting. And I admit, people get weary. I get weary at times, but I know that I cannot defeat him in my strength. I have to go back to the armor of God. And as we get to the end of this, we won't do it tonight, but as I get to the end of it at church, one of the greatest pieces of armor that you can put on is prayer. It's one of the greatest pieces you can put on. And what do we not like to do? We don't like to pray. And that's one of the greatest pieces you can put on. Second thing is the church has to engage in spiritual warfare in order to be able to stand and hold her ground against the devil, in order to survive these vicious attacks that sometimes comes in churches. They come subtle and they come often. Now, believe what I'm telling you tonight. There has been a many thriving church in this world that are there no more. You know why? Because they don't take scriptures like this serious, because they didn't put on the whole armor of God. And the devil comes in with his schemes and his tactics, and he gets people to fighting each other, and you know, all this confusion and every evil work in the church. Before you know it, the church is busted up, it's gone, and it's there no longer. A lot of churches don't exist because they refuse to fight. And you say, well, why did they not want to fight? Because they don't like to do spiritual things. And that's the only thing you had to fight with. And that's what God tells you to fight with. And like I said, one of those things is prayer. The other thing, number three, God has provided to us as his people all we need to stand against the devil. We have everything we need for warfare. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So he says, God is saying that I've given you everything you need to oppose and resist the devil. 1 Corinthians 16:13, the Apostle Paul exhorts the Corinthian believers. He says, watch and stand fast in the faith. He says, be brave and be strong. And then he says, let everything be done with love. And when he says that, he's talking about love for God and love for each other. So if you read the word of God throughout, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, It exhorts all God's people to be strong and courageous and in battle and brave in conflict. And this is why it tells you to be strong and courageous. It's not because you're somebody with this extraordinary strength. No, it tells you that because of the one who leads you into battle. And the one who leads you into battle has all power. The one who leads us into battle, he has all strength. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. I want to read Hebrews 2:10 because I love this scripture. He says here, for it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. And he says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. In other words, our leader will lead us to glory, but we have to follow him. We have to go to glory in his strength. And that's the emphasis that I'm trying to make tonight. So we as saints, we are definitely in a fight with some hostile powers. They're unseen. And the ultimate issue is not just with us, but it's an issue of good and evil. It's an issue of God and the devil. You know, it's an issue of church and the world. I mean, this is a battle that just expands, and we're involved in this battle. Now, there are a lot of Old Testament scriptures, and I'm not going to read a lot of them tonight. I read quite a few of these the last time I did that. But there's scriptures in the Old Testament to show you to be strong in the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20:15. He says here, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he says, and you, King Jehoshaphat. I think it's Haziel talking to him. He says, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. Now, he's looking at this great multitude to come out to battle against Israel. Now, if he's talking to the church, he's talking about principalities, powers, rulers of the wickedness in this world. And I like what he tells them. He says, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. So he's reminding them that this battle goes beyond just a simple matter of theirs. This is a battle that God's involved in, you know, with the devil and with evil throughout in this world. And so they were involved in this battle because God, they were the people of God. They were in the army of God because their battles are to be fought. And he's telling them that you should fight this battle in the might and the power of God Almighty. 2 Chronicles 32:7-8. It's all through the Old Testament. The king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he threatens Judah and King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah gives the people this encouragement. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before the multitude that is with them. And then he goes on to say, he says, for there are many more with us than with him. Now, when he says that, he's not talking about there's a lot of people with them. Here's what he says. He says, for with him is the arm of the flesh, but for with us is the Lord our God. I don't care how many people they come against us with. God is with us. And you can read all through the Old Testament how God just destroyed armies and everything on Israel's behalf. Well, the same thing happens in the spiritual realm for the church when we put on the armor of God and we fight as the army of God. The devil is not impressed with carnal things. The devil is not impressed with carnal weapons. The devil is no respecter of persons. The devil doesn't care how big your church is. He doesn't care how small your church is. He doesn't care about anything. All he wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care what age you are. You know, he doesn't care whether you're married or not. He just wants to destroy everything in your life that is good and spiritual and just and right. So we can fight in the confidence of the fact we have this great promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. A lot of times I get in battles and there are some severe things that I get into in my life. That's one scripture that I continue to speak to my heart over and over again. When things look bad in the church and it looks like things are not going to get turned around, I remember Christ's promise to the disciples that the gates of hell are not going to defeat the church. We've been doing a study in the book of Revelation, and, you know, we come out to the conclusion in one part that before the world's over, the voice of the church will be stopped. The gospel will go out no more. You know, and then for a little period, the church will come back, but the Lord will come and take his people and take them up into heaven. But can you imagine living in a world where there's no gospel? You think this world's bad now? Take the gospel out of the world and see how bad the world would be. And someday that will happen. So the Apostle Paul, he's causing us to spiritual warfare, and he wants these people to realize their own weakness. He wants them to realize that their lack of strength and realize that they have an enemy that is very, very powerful. Now, the question comes up tonight, who does the fighting? Because I'm telling you to fight in the strength and the power and the might of God. Well, some people would teach this. They say to struggle and to fight in the Christian life is defeat within itself. There's a doctrine that's been around many years, and it basically says, let go and let God. You know, if we let go, God will do it for us. Let him do it all for us. We will put it into the hands of the Lord. It's not your battle. It's his. Now, there's some truth in that. I'm not saying there's not truth in that. Hand it over to him, you know, and there's truth in it, but that's not all the truth. Some people say that the Christian has nothing to do but to abide in Christ. He himself must not struggle at all until all be done for him. But see, you can refute that with the simple fact that Paul says we wrestle. We wrestle. We strive. You know, we agonize. You know, we battle a lot, and it's spiritual battles. Just to give you an example of a scripture that you have to interpret it right. Psalm 55, 22. The psalmist says this, and this is a great scripture. He says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. And he says this, that the Lord, he will never permit the righteous to be moved. To me, that's one of the greatest promises in the word of God. But it doesn't mean that God is going to totally take the burden away so that it's no longer there and you have nothing to do. Number one, the first thing you got to do is you got to cast it. He tells you to do it. You know, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. And what he will do, he may not take this burden away, but what he will do is he will keep you going where you're able to bear and endure this burden. God will hold you up as you walk and need help carrying this burden. God will provide for you as you carry this burden. And not only that, God will carry the burden and he will carry you at the same prompt time. And he says he will never permit the righteous to be moved. What happens when the righteous is moved? Well, if you put it in context, you would be saying that he will never permit you to fall away under this burden. He won't let this trial be bigger than what you are. But he will carry you. People go through things that they have to go through the rest of their life. People have burdens that they're going to carry the rest of their life. But you have this promise right here that God will carry you through as you carry this burden. And so let go and let God is not good theology. We need to trust him. We need to survive on his strength. And as we're in this spiritual warfare, we need to know that we definitely need to fight this thing in the strength of God. But that doesn't mean he does it for you. It means that you have to go to war. That's why he tells you to fight in his might, to fight in his strength, and to put on his armor. Now, just to give you a few more scriptures, James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, resist simply means to stand out against and oppose the devil. And the point I want to make tonight is God cannot do that for you or me. God cannot submit himself to himself for you and me. Now, you have to do that. You have to submit to God. When you submit to God, that is where your strength to fight this battle is. A lot of people lose battles, as I said earlier, because they are not close to God. They don't obey, nor do they subject themselves to God. But if you submit yourself to God, then the strength and the power is there to resist the devil. 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then he tells you this. He says, resist him steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren who are in the world. So Peter is just telling you the formula right there. You need to be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he's looking for somebody that's unprotected, unexpected, helpless prey. He's looking for somebody that he can overthrow, and he says, you have to resist him in the faith. You have to put on the whole armor of God, and you have to fight against him with the weapons that God's given you. So this is a good exhortation for us tonight. I think a lot of times we think we can fight him in our strength and we lose battles that we should not lose. I'm telling you that you need spiritual weapons to defeat this enemy. I call our war with the devil, I call it the unseen war, because it goes on in your mind and in your thoughts. And, you know, we got to a piece of armor last week, and we talked about thoughts and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And imagination is simply where the devil takes his paintbrush and he paints a picture in your mind. And then the devil does that, and then he says, now I want you to think things. And he paints this picture. So you have this picture of somebody that, I think she doesn't like me, or, you know, get these ugly thoughts about each other and these ugly thoughts about life. And that's the way he defeats people, because he gets into their mind. You say, well, how you do it? You have to guard your heart. You have to get into the word of God. You have to pray. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We're exhorted to do it. And how are we to do it? How are you going to put to death the deeds of the body? By the Holy Spirit. It's his power that will help us to do that. And then one more, Philippians 2:13. He says, work out your own salvation. Well, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he tells us to work it out. And then William says, for it is God himself who is to do well as to do it. So when you're working out your own salvation, it's God's power working through you. As you work out your own salvation, God is energizing you to do it. And that's because you use the means of grace that he's given to you. And of course, I gave you 2 Corinthians 10:3, for we don't war in the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and the fortresses in this world. So you will see in the Apostle Paul's writings, and you'll see in a lot of things that he says, that he uses a lot of military terminology. And we got to remember, the Apostle Paul, he was put in jail a lot for his uncompromising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gets a lot of his analogy from military imagery, from observing these Roman soldiers that were chained to him as they took him around from jail to jail. And he learned a lot about armor. He came up with these analogies by looking at these soldiers and how they dressed and how their armor was. And then he puts this stuff into spiritual context for us. So now the Apostle Paul tells Timothy this, knowing that being a young pastor, he's going to be viciously assaulted by the devil. He says this, 1 Timothy 6:12. He says, you need to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many. Now, Timothy at this time probably had been in an hour of probably great testing. He was probably discouraged. And Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to pull yourself together, and I want you to fight, and I want you to fight the good fight of faith. And he's telling Timothy, you either will fight or you will be overthrown. You have to fight. And one thing the devil does is, you know, he will really go after a young pastor. I've seen it over and over again. And they have to learn. But what they have to learn to do is trust and depend upon the Lord. The devil goes after new Christians, but they have to learn to trust and depend upon the Lord. And they don't know how to fend him off because people haven't taught them how to do it. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, not in yourself, but in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And then he says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And then he tells Timothy this. He says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted as a soldier. So the Apostle Paul, if you read his writings, he compared, you know, life in this world to a race, a fight. And he tells us to fight. He talks about athletic competition and things like that. He says, run this race to win. Run to win the prize. He says, fight the good fight of faith. So you'll see him use that kind of analogy over and over in the Word of God. Now, the Apostle Paul had many run-ins with Satan and the powers of darkness as he went about planting churches and boldly proclaiming the gospel, preaching the whole counsel of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he tells the Thessalonian brethren, he said, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again. But he says this. He said, Satan hindered us. In other words, he wanted to stop us. He wanted to stop us for the progress of the gospel going throughout this world. Let me ask you a question tonight. Has Satan ever hindered you from coming to church? Has Satan ever hindered you from going to do a good work for the Lord? You know, maybe you're going to witness to somebody, or, you know, somebody you're going to be able to share the gospel with, and Satan puts this stumbling block in the way so that you can't get there. This happened to me. 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says that he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him in the flesh. Now, I know the Lord gave it to him so he wouldn't be exalted above measure, but this messenger was from Satan, and he came to frustrate Paul, and God allowed him to come. So basically tonight, this man who wrote these words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit was definitely qualified to write this. The Apostle Paul knew war with the devil that we'll never know. And the Apostle Paul died victorious. He did all to stand, and he stood. And he set a great example for us, and he held his ground. He did not apostatize, nor did he deny the faith. And of course, you know, as you've read his lifestyle, he was martyred in victory. He died proclaiming Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that things will change in this country to such an extent that you'll either fight or you'll be overthrown. I believe that things will set up one day, and I believe that you're going to see a lot of panic amongst people who profess to be Christian, because they're not ready for what's coming. And the reason why I say that is because people really don't believe in using spiritual weapons. You know, the churches are busy having fun and frolic and doing all these crazy things that they do and everything. The people are not ready for the attack that will come upon the church. I heard in one city the other day that they are writing an ordinance that you cannot counsel somebody that's been a transvestite or anything like that. You do not use your Bible to counsel them, to help them. They want to write an ordinance. What they're saying, you're not going to preach against us no more. Next thing will come, it'll be against the law. You know, you've heard about hate speech and everything. Never know, one day preaching might be hate speech. And things like that. So we need to be ready to fight, because all of these things is from the devil. Why? He wants to shut your mouth. He wants to shut the mouth of the church. Anybody that's speaking the word of God, you are on the devil's hit list. And the reason why he doesn't bother certain churches and he bothers other churches is because some are not a threat to him and some are a threat to him. And if you're the one that's a threat to him, he's going to bring in the big bombs and he's going to try to bomb you out. But we have one greater than him. We have Christ Jesus, the captain of our salvation. So the Apostle Paul says this at the end of his life. He said, I have fought the good fight, talking about military terms. I have finished the race, that's athletic competition. I have kept the faith, and I will die victoriously in the strength of God. And then he says, finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to also who have loved his appearing. The Apostle Paul died more than a conqueror through him who loved him. He was a conqueror in the faith, and we're to follow his example. Now, as I close down tonight, the good news is this. We're fighting a war that has already been won. And, you know, we're going to fight on this sinful earth, but victory is guaranteed through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, Paul says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says in 2:14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Jesus Christ. And through us, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." The church will be victorious. I'm not trying to frighten you tonight. I'm just telling you that we live in a time that you better understand what spiritual weapons are and learn how to use them. Because your mind has to be set in the things of God. You have to watch over your heart and your mind and your spirit. I don't know how many times in my Christian life I have been surprised by what has happened to great men of God have fallen. And you say, how did he fall? He was one of the greatest preachers in the world. What happened? Right here. He didn't put on the whole armor of God. You know, you can preach and not have on the armor of God. But he didn't have a prayer life. He didn't put on the whole armor of God. And some of them basically were not converted, you know, yet still. And you say, preach unconverted. You can preach unconverted. Now, if you're an unbeliever tonight, there's no victory or hope outside of this faith in Jesus Christ. And you will only make it alive off the battlefield of this world as you put your faith and trust in him. Because right now you're living in and under the power and in and under the influence of another kingdom. And right now you have nothing to fight with. But I offer you something to fight with tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And he will put these spiritual weapons in your hands and you will be able to fight the good fight of faith just like all Christians do. Because if you don't turn to Christ, there's only one other alternative. The devil will destroy you. People say you shouldn't preach that in 2019. They've been preaching this for centuries. And you don't want to go to hell. And I tell people all the time, there's no party in hell. You know, you need your soul, your never dying soul is the most important thing that you'll ever have. And you know, if you lose your soul, that's a tragic thing. That's the greatest tragedy that could ever happen to anybody. And I think about it all the time. I said, Lord, I preached a lot and I did all these things. And I said, now, what if I was to fall away? I think about things like that. And I said, Lord, please have mercy on me and keep me, you know, and don't allow me to just stray away and just give up the faith and things like that. I stay serious about my soul because just because you preach and do it doesn't mean that you're serious about your soul. But you have to use spiritual weapons. And if you're an unbeliever tonight, God will save you, wash you clean in the blood of Christ. He will dress you up in the armor of God, and he will give you the strength and the power and the might to fight this fight. One of these days, the world will be over, and all those who are in Christ will stand victorious. The world will see the people of God. Praises of Zion. And they will see Satan cast into the pit, and he will be there forever and ever. Every time I see somebody that's going through stuff, death, sickness, disease, or all these things, I think about who did it. It was the enemy of our souls. And when Adam sinned, he messed this whole earth up. But God had provided a redeemer, and he has come. And he can reconcile your life and make it right. So fight the good fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God. Be willing to love spiritual things. Use the means of grace. That's not outdated. Use the means of grace. Listen to your pastors. You know, fight every day. Don't let the devil get you in this situation where a lot of people get in like you don't need it anymore. You never outgrow fighting. You're going to have to fight. And may God help you to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the captain of our salvation. Father, we realize that the victory has been won. but we still have a battle to fight on this earth against the enemies of our soul. Father, we don't want to see any person perish in hell. And we do pray that your mercy, your grace and your mercy would be sufficient to save sinners. Father, we pray that you would move mightily by your Spirit and make many trophies of your grace. Father, we're thankful tonight that we can worship and praise you in your house. And we do ask, Lord, as we go back out into this world this week, that we will put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Father, we thank you that you bless us and keep us. And Father, we give you all the glory for all the blessed things that have happened in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.